Blog Talk Radio.
The following internet radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
Part of today's urban vernacular is a phrase known as Bink Pimpin'. Many young men aspire to be perceived by their peers as a top-level pimp and subsequently earn the much-sought-after street cred that they so earnestly desire. And I'm not necessarily referring to the antiquated notion of a high school dropout cruising around town in a Cadillac Eldorado wearing a wide-rimmed fedora and wider pink fuzzy dice hanging off from their rearview mirror adorned in a long mink coat. Nowadays, there are middle-class and even upper-middle-class pimps. There are even pimps in the corridors of corporate America. No longer is pimping exclusively relegated to the relationship between street prostitutes and or call girls and the hardcore men that protect them and manage them. These days, in the 21st century, and even in the latter years of the previous decade, the term pimping became much broader and more sophisticatedly defined than what most laymen are generally accustomed to. Today, not only are many aspiring actresses, singers, models, and video vixens, as they like to refer to themselves, pimped by a number of different entertainment industry executives, but many of these women enthusiastically invite it, welcome it, and even brag about the idea of being exploited for sexual favors. Take the case of popular tabloid-styled author Corrine Steffens, whose Confessions of a Video Vixen earned New York Times bestseller honors at the expense of her personal dignity and her intentional aura of diminished self-respect. Like it or not, folks, this is the world we live in right now. This is the current culture, pimp or be pimped. Is there anyone with enough integrity and strength of character to speak out against such manipulative behavior designed primarily to take advantage of women without means, or more specifically, women of color? Yes, there is. She's a celebrity makeup artist from Chicago and also a well-respected author. Her book is entitled Super Women and Goddesses, Working Your Power and Magic, Book 1. Her name? Miss Akua Alset. And Miss Alset is about to get up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Is this the Alan Roger Curry of Road 1 fame? Oh, my God.
When I made the movie, it was never my intention to bash black women. What it's about is trying to show black women for the first time big some of the contributions to why relationships don't work actually do come from this.
So online dating actually allows you to get to know someone far better than if you met someone for 20 minutes in a bar.
I actually agree with that. I agree with Evan wholeheartedly.
We were created to couple up, and I don't care who you are, how successful you think you have it, or how happy of a life you think you would have without a companion. We were created with a longing to couple with someone else.
Only God can judge me, and only God can judge these people. Everyone has the right to live their life, and who am I to judge a person for what they want to do? If it works for you, more power to you. Go ahead.
L.A. is like a meat market.
don't I know?
I don't know what it is, but somebody's looking for something. So fried chicken is black women to me. I mean, it's just a beautiful thing. I even wrote a poem. Just like chicken.
Miss McDermott, glad to have you here.
Alan, I'm just feeling a lot of love right now. Yeah, you got me all a-tingling, so let's talk about it.
702 is up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and Jimmy Jean-Louis.
Hey, what's up, Alan? What's up, Jimmy J?
Hey, how are you?
Jimmy J, somebody knows me.
Oh, my goodness.
I get this move.
Alan.
No, you know, hey.
You're horrible.
What?
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. We're on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network, and I'm your host, Alan Roger Curry. And today is Thursday, March 13th, and I'm just happy to report that the weather in the general Chicagoland region is finally starting to warm up a wee bit. I want to say that today was probably the warmest day we've had in 2008. It got up to about 62, 63 degrees. And if you live in other parts of the country, in the Chicagoland area, northwest Indiana, it's generally been in the 30s, at highest, maybe high 30s. But, yeah, it got up to 60. So I was excited about that. As always, I want to take a few quick seconds to give a few shout-outs and much-deserved props. Many thanks to the co-founders of Blog Talk Radio, CEO Mr. Alan Levy and Chief Operating Officer Mr. Bob Cherish, the Blog Talk Radio executive staff, which includes but is not limited to Mr. John Sweet, Mr. Luke Armour, and Ms. Hillary Lee Wong, who always hooks me up. All three of these staff members, they go out of their way to help Blog Talk Radio show hosts such as myself better produce our shows, and they help us better promote our episodes to the masses. My bro Ham and ace confidant, Stephen Curry, my cousin Chicago, J.P. Jones, all of my fellow Blog Talk Radio Network family, Nikki Woods, The Dean, Will Wavy, Dangerous Lee, Nikki Love, Hip Talk Radio, The Lavologist, Andre and Amber, and just a number of other high-quality hosts on this Internet Radio Network. If you get a chance, listeners, please check out the weekly lineup of all of the high-quality talk radio shows available for you to listen to on this social broadcasting network. And as always, if you can't listen to a show live, you can always listen to each show as what's known as an archived podcast. An archived podcast. So if you're too busy, you're working at the time that your favorite show goes on live, you can always listen to it as a podcast. And of course, all my enthusiastic and loyal listeners from all over the country and even some out of the country. Like I got Metal Hayes, he's in Canada, and he's back again for the second week in a row. Got all my listeners in Los Angeles, Chicago, Baltimore, D.C., Columbus, Ohio, Houston, Vegas, Seattle, Indianapolis, Atlanta, and many other cities across the nation. As I do every week, I want to sincerely thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to tune into my show this evening and listen to me interview another intelligent and insightful guest. If you're a brand new listener to my show and you're not really familiar with the format of my program, Upfront and Straightforward is a 60-minute talk radio program designed for single men and single women 18 years of age and older to talk about anything and everything that is directly or indirectly related to dating, relationships, and enhancing the social lives, love lives, and even sex lives of single men and single women in various cities across the country. And again, out of the country, like my boy Metal Hayes is in Montreal, Canada. My main website address is blogtalkradio.mode1.net. That's http://blogtalkradio.mode1.net or www.blogtalkradio.com/mode1, M-O-D-E-O-N-E. You can also download my shows once they become a podcast from iTunes. You can go to iTunes and look for Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, and you will be able to download the past episodes of my show. Well, to repeat for the third week in a row, my normal co-host, Ms. Tennille Williams, is going to be absent from my show for the next few weeks due to the fact that she's an up-and-coming model and actress in Hollywood who has been receiving much more work now that the writer's strike in Hollywood is now ended. I wish Tennille nothing but the best, and I just hope to have her join me for an upcoming episode in the next 4 to 6 weeks. Speaking of upcoming episodes, I have some open spots in early to mid-May. So if you have anyone you want to recommend to me, I have about 3 spots open in early to mid-May So if you know someone who's a book author, dating coach, relationship guru, romance advisor, social events organizer, recommend them to me through email. That's blogtalkradio@mode1.net, blogtalkradio@mode1.net. The spots that I have open are Thursday, May 1st, Thursday, May 8th, and Thursday, May 15th. So send me an email if you got a name for me. Man, if you're listening to me, please feel me on this. I know the desire for sex is strong. Matter of fact, I know sometimes it's very strong. I don't challenge that at all. But come on, fellas. Come on, fellas. $80,000? $80,000 on sex calls? I mean, on sexual interactions? Of course, I'm referring to New York Governor, who had to resign. He had to resign in disgrace, Governor Elliot Spitzer. He was spending $4,000 a pop to hook up with the call girl. Her code name was Kristen. Turns out her real name is Ashley Alexandria Dupree. And it just blows my mind at the amount of money that was spent for each interaction. Again, they say he spent anywhere from $4,000 to $5,000 per interaction, or let's say per orgasm. That's a lot for an orgasm. Come on now. Come on now. I mean, I would wonder what was said behind closed doors. I don't want to even speculate on what the governor's wife said, because I try to shy away from harsh profanity on my show, but I know she has some harsh words for him. And what do you think about Hillary apologizing to the brothers and sisters, in part because of what her campaign finance manager said? That was former Democratic vice presidential candidate Geraldine Ferraro. She suggested that Obama, it was an advantage for Obama to be black, and that he wouldn't be enjoying such popularity if it weren't for the fact that he was black. Yeah, okay. In what world? A quick note, with all due respect to my Caucasian listeners, please let me know the day when it becomes an advantage in this country to be a brother. Let me know that. Send me the memo, text message me, call me with urgency to let me know the day in the United States of America that it becomes an advantage in any walk of life to be a brother. Now, I hear people say, well, blacks are always drafted high in the NFL and NBA. That's because those brothers are focused and they work their tails off. It has nothing to do with their skin color or some sort of imaginary advantage. Let me loan Ferraro some money so she can go to the nearest I don't have a clue store and buy her one. That's right. Buy her a clue. I will loan her the money.
You stupid.
Now, going back to the Spitzer scandal, the woman identified, again, was Ashley Dupree. She is quoted as saying, "I love who I am." Well, I guess you would love who you are when you're getting paid $4,000 a pop. She is quoted as saying, "Whatever attempts to destroy me strengthens me." I have this question. Does Ashley, a.k.a. Kristen, at the Emperor's VIP Club in New York, take pride in selling her body and sexual favors for quick cash? While we ponder on the answer to that question, that leads me right into introducing my guest for the evening. She was raised in Chicago, where she currently resides, and this woman is really representative of what anyone can achieve when they put their mind to it. Believe it or not, at one point, my guest for the evening was a single mother on welfare. But she beat the odds. She was surviving and struggling just to make ends meet. Then over a period of years, she began to cultivate her God-given talents and strengths. And soon she became a highly sought-after makeup artist, and she was being requested for a number of male and female celebrities to help them look their best, including, among others, legendary NBA star Michael Jordan, supermodel Cheryl Teagues, popular R&B singer and actress Jill Scott, boxing legend Muhammad Ali's daughter, and Dancing with the Stars finalist Layla Ali, actress Vivica Fox, rappers 50 Cent, Snoop Dogg, Mos Def, and just way too many other big-name celebrities to highlight, in this short period of time. She is fairly new to the category of author, publishing her first book just over a year ago, and the book is entitled Super Women and Goddesses, Working Your Power and Magic, Book One. I own a copy of this book, and despite the book being primarily geared towards women, I thoroughly enjoyed the many powerful messages and words of wisdom contained in this book, and I would recommend it to anybody. On behalf of Blog Talk Radio and Upfront and Straightforward, listeners, give it up for Miss Akua Ossett. Miss Ossett, how are you this evening?
Oh, I am magnificent. You're really good at this.
Well, I hope so. I hope nobody's sitting at home saying, dang, Alan kind of like just sucks at this stuff.
But I
really enjoy what I'm doing, and I love talking to guests that are going to, you know, drop some knowledge on me, some wisdom on me, make me think about something I never thought about before, and I'm sure that that's what you're going to do tonight. Real quickly, before I start asking you some questions, Akua, let me tell my listeners, if during the course of this interview you have any questions for Ms. Ossett or any comments you want to make, please call in. The number is 646-478-5710. Again, that's 646-478-5710. Please be ready to just hit the ground running as soon as I answer the phone, because I don't want you to go into a bunch of small talk and stuff that's not related to the discussion. But I do welcome everyone's calls. But let's get to it, right into it, with Miss Ossett, who I happen to know personally. She's not someone I just invited to show. We've known each other for a while, at least, well, not that long, but a few months anyway. Tell our listeners, at what age did you get started as a makeup artist, and how did you end up being requested by so many big-name celebrities?
Well, it's not something that I pursued. It was just really a gift that just happened to me when I really made a choice that I wanted to live an abundant life. And it's like the universe just comes together. Once you make that, place that order into the universe, it starts to work to make that come true. And so I really would say I began makeup when I was very, very young. I've always been a painter. And so I've experienced that some of the best makeup artists are actually painters.
Really?
And I had not planned on being a makeup artist. I actually wanted to be a fashion designer. And so I knew how to draw, and I would draft patterns and drape and sew, and that was really what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a, you know, like a Donna Karen or someone like that. And I had my first child when I was 22, so I had to make the donuts. So the designing thing wasn't going as well as I needed it to go, so I would supplement my income by working at the department stores for various makeup lines, and found that I was actually quite good at it, and people would come, and they really trusted my direction, and I really enjoyed it. I really loved the fact that I could take a face and improve it, you know, make people look a little healthier, make them look a little bit happier. And so, you know, something I really enjoyed. I made good money at it, and, So,
I mean, obviously, I think you're being a tad bit modest here. I see a lot of women in, what is it, Carson Peary Scott and what have you, stand behind a makeup desk or whatever, but they not being requested by Hollywood celebrities or professional athletes, so somehow the word started getting around that you were really, really good at what you did. When did that start happening, roughly?
The funny thing is that I thought I was making really good money working at these department stores as a freelance makeup artist, making like $15 an hour. I thought, like, wow, making $15 an hour. And a friend of mine was managing a photographer studio, and somehow we got on the subject of makeup artists, that they would hire a makeup artist, and that they were making several hundred dollars a day. And I'm like, well, I could do that. And so she was nice enough to introduce me to a couple of makeup artists, and those makeup artists were nice enough to tell me what I needed to do and, you know, get a few photos. And then I did that, went to an agency, signed up with an agency, started getting bookings, ended up working on a film. And then working on that film, I hooked up with actually a sister who referred me to work with Michael Jordan. And the ball just started rolling, and it's not something that I pursued really in my mind. I want to be a makeup artist. I was just trying to make ends meet. And it has ended up being a very kind career to me, being a single mother for almost 18 years now. It's given me a lot of flexibility to work a few days, make, you know, a good amount of money and be home, or, you know, just really choose to do what I want to do. And so, yeah, that's how I got started.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had somebody in the chat room. Let me ask you this real quick. Mm-hmm. And good evening to all the people joining me in the chat room. Somebody asked, do you have any skin tips for men? Skin tips for men.
Well, that's a very good question. I do have skin tips for men and for anybody. You know, I'm really moving more into the healing beauty arts, meaning people being beautiful through being well. And so my tip is to be well, meaning, you know, make sure you're drinking lots of water, making sure you're eating food that's alive. In other words, fruits and vegetables that have not been cooked. Make sure that your colon is clean, you know. It's very popular now to be doing colon cleanses and all that. You know, what goes in must come out. And usually if there's a skin problem, there's a problem with the intestines being congested as well as the blood being toxic. So you need to do a blood detox as well as a colon cleanse. And so, you know, I'm really focusing on, you know, wellness more so than actually, you know, putting masks on people at this time.
Now, that's funny you mention that. Some of my close friends know this, and I'm now about to announce it publicly. Just in the last week, I became a vegetarian.
Really?
Yeah, even though I love Hooters chicken wings, but I'm giving them up. And I became a vegetarian, and I know a lot of my friends are skeptical. They don't think I'm going to be able to last because I'm kind of known in my circle of friends for having almost an addiction to chicken wings. But but I'm really on a healthy kick. And in 2008, and I saw both of my parents suffer from heart disease. And I don't know if I'm ready to take the step to raw vegan. It sounds like you've already taken that step.
Well, you know, I refuse to label myself. I eat to live and to be healthy, so I eat whatever I choose to eat.
Okay.
That's just my mindset. So I haven't labeled myself vegetarian, vegan, or fruitarian, breatharian. They're actually breatharians. But
that's what Dick Gregory is, right?
I'm not sure.
I think he refers himself as a breatharian, yeah.
But, you know, I have a video that if people eat meat, I have a video that may cure you of your meat eating. It's called Earthling, and if that's not enough to make you not
want I tell you, a movie for me, and my decision wasn't necessarily influenced by a movie, but if I had to pick a movie, I don't know if any of my listeners out there saw this movie called Fast Food Nation, which concentrated specifically on the beef industry. Oh, man, I tell you, after watching that movie, you never want to go to McDonald's or eat a hamburger again in your life. Oh, man, it turned me off. But anyway, I want to ask you, since you were a makeup artist, which indirectly deals with beauty, for so many years, magazines and other media publications have always highlighted, to one degree or another, what I call the Barbie doll standard of beauty.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, in what manner, if any, do you feel this negatively affects black women's sense of self-esteem?
Oh, I mean, well, it's such a common subject. It's almost redundant to go into it. But and also just to mention, I'm still a makeup artist. I'm actually leaving in the morning to go to L.A. for a quick commercial assignment. So I'm still a makeup artist. I'm just really focusing on the healing beauty arts aspect of it. So when I do makeup, you know, I'm using oils and herbs and, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of, you know, I can speak on my own experience growing up in America. And, you know, it seemed to have been only one standard of beauty that I grew up watching. And as you said, it's kind of the Barbie doll look. And I think for anybody, not just women of African descent, but, you know, our Asian sisters, our Latino sisters, and, you know, even the European women, most of them are not blondes, you know, so they have been victim to that, you know, that box of that one standard of beauty, you know, that they feel like they have to dye their hair blonde to be attractive to their men. So whenever you see other people that don't look like you being held up, and then you don't see anyone like yourself being held up as beautiful, then, you know, of course you want to be beautiful, you want to be attractive to other people, you want to be loved. So, you know, then you have people starting to dye hair and straighten hair and, you know, tinker with some of their facial features and, you know, do all kinds of manipulations to their bodies that are unnatural just to feel beautiful so that they will be loved, they will get attention, they will be accepted. So it can be very detrimental if you believe the hype. That was one of the most powerful songs ever written. Don't believe the hype.
Yeah, that, I remember that song very well. Now, you know what I love about you, Akua? And I think number one, a lot of people in the urban community know that there is a certain degree of tension, if you will, between a lot of brothers and sisters in the dating scene. And I love the fact that in many of your email communications with myself, you will often open by saying, "Greetings, King."
Mm.
And I won't lie, I love that. It motivates a man such as myself to show a woman the highest degree of respect when I receive that sort of respect. And I want to ask you, do you think one of the problems today between particularly black men and black women is that there is too much blatant disrespect for one another? I know that's almost a rhetorical question, but why do you think more brothers and sisters don't give each other that higher degree of respect?
Well, it's because we're out of touch with our real culture. We're following someone else's culture. And, you know, really in our home culture and African culture, even though there's so much going on even with our brothers and sisters back home, I mean, one thing that is consistent is the way that we address each other. We address each other with endearing terms and empowering terms. And I think part of it is when you feel a sense of self-love, then you just transfer that over to your brother, your sister. So it all starts with how you feel about yourself. So if you're calling, you know, people things that are not endearing, that means you must not feel much about yourself. And so I like to be called queen. I like how that feels. I like to be called goddess. And so, you know, I just want to be affectionate towards my brothers and my sisters. So, you know, I often, you know, call people love and goddess and, you know, sister. You know, I always want to be in an environment where there's admiration and affection. That's the kind of world that I want to live in. So I give that to people.
Can I ask you one quick favor, Akua?
Sure.
Someone in the chat room said that at times your voice seems a little bit low. So if you can increase your volume by maybe 10-15%.
I think it's his phone. Is that better? I'll speak louder.
Okay, yeah. I've heard you all night, but
okay.
Evidently a couple people in the chat room felt like at different times your voice was kind of erratic in terms of the volume.
Let us know if that's better.
Can you hear it better? Let us know. Now, first, listeners, if you want to call in and ask a question or make a comment, again, the number is 646-478-5710. 646-478-5710. I'm going to be taking a short intermission in a second, but one question before I go to our little two-minute intermission. You have a chapter in your book entitled, "Can a Sister Get 50 Cents?
Get at least 50 cents.
At least 50
at
cents.
Least.
You know, and you describe how you were surrounded on a video shoot by strippers, porn stars, and this common term, video vixens, as they're now known as. And it was a video shoot for the well-known rapper 50 Cent. And you say in your book that you couldn't distinguish, really, that video shoot from a near X-rated bachelor party, and that cash, celebrity, and power made for some very power aphrodisiacs. My question would be, Why do you believe there are so many women, and I guess specifically aspiring actresses, willing to work on a video shoot for free just to get a few minutes of attention from a celebrity such as 50 Cent?
Well, everybody wants to be loved. Everybody wants to be loved. They want to be respected. They want to be appreciated. And so that's usually at the root of everything that everybody does. They want to be loved, appreciated, respected. And so if you grow up in a culture, in a family, in a relationship in which you don't know who you are, you don't know where you're from, you don't know why you are on the planet, you don't have a group of people around you to affirm these things, then you're going to be lost in this world in which most of the things that go on in this American culture are about profit. So you are prey now to all those people sending messages that are trying to make profit, and you're lost, and you're just trying to get some love, some respect, and some appreciation. So people will do funny things trying to get those things, and they may not end up receiving those things. They may end up receiving abuse, but I think that's basically what everybody is seeking.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, if anybody who listens to my show knows, for some of my promos, I take little sound bites. And I just heard a couple of sound bites in that response. You gave me a couple of quotables, what I call them, right there. That was good stuff. Well, cool. I'm going to let you take the next 2 minutes to get a swig of water and just relax your voice. And as I do in every show, this is what's called my two-minute intermission period. Listeners, I'll be right back. And again, please, if you have any questions or comments, those in the chat room and listening otherwise, call in to 646-478-5710. Be right back.
Tune in to Touching Millions, hosted by Nikki Woods and Tanya Sherrell, Sundays 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on Blog Talk Radio. Be informed, be empowered, be connected. Together we can change the world one life at a time.
Change a life.
Touching Millions is brought to you by A Million Women Strong, an organization designed to inform, empower, and connect women all across the globe. For more information, log on to the website, amillionwomenstrong.com.
Change a life.
Touching Millions, Sundays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on Blog Talk Radio.
Guys, how does it feel to come out of pocket spending money on dinners and dates only to get a hug at the end of the night while she goes and visits a bad boy like me?
Damn!
Oh, Florida. Come over and join our blog talk show, Beyond Dating, every Tuesday and Saturday night, 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Get your crayons out. Go to www.thedeantv.com. That's www.thedeantv.com. Are you ready to think outside your dating box?
What's up, folks? This is Alan Roger Curry. Join my co-host, Tanil Williams, and I every Thursday evening at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast as we discuss a wide variety of dating-related issues with some of the most intelligent and entertaining guests that the Blog Talk Radio Network has to offer. Visit blogtalkradio.com/mode1, M-O-D-E-O-N-E. See you then. Welcome back to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. I'm your host, Alan Roger Curry, and my special guest for the evening is Ms. Akua Osset. She is the author of the popular book, Superwomen and Goddesses, Working Your Power and Magic, Book 1. She is also the creator of the Butterfly Program, and I'm actually have her quickly elaborate a little bit on the specifics of the Butterfly Program.
Yeah, I would love to. Actually, the Butterfly Project program came about after I took a leadership program, and the leadership program that I took did not have that available for teens, and I thought it would be a great opportunity for teens to really look at who they are, why they're here, creating a sacred haven of community, and finding a way to share that with the community. So I actually put together a 7-day workshop focusing on those four things. Can you hear me better now? I actually changed phones.
Kind of, yes. The volume is just as good, if not better, but there seems to be a little bit of... Well, it's the chat room.
Okay.
Is this just as good, if not better, chat room?
Okay,
give me a response.
It?
But I felt a little background noise. But, yeah, you're cool. You're cool.
Okay. And you know, really, in my own personal situation, I really could have used a little bit more guidance from big sisters or, you know, just, you know, elders. And part of it probably was because I didn't ask. You know, a lot of young people won't ask. But I wanted to really share a lot of information and wisdom that I had received with the young people. So I created this 4-day project. And, you know, so actually we're going to be launching that once again. We got started and took a break and we're reworking some things. But we'll be relaunching that this summer. And we just need young girls to apply to be part of it. And I was actually doing a Hollywood makeover event called the Shine Event, the Butterfly Project Shine Event. And we stopped doing it because we just didn't have enough girls that were applying to do it. So part of it is, even if you're not a teenager, if you know teenage girls, you should refer them to it, because we were giving away like a $500 value day for free.
Wow.
And we just didn't have enough girls that would come. And all they needed to do was fill out a profile, a little bit on who they were, and that's it, and they could get in. So we'll be relaunching that this summer.
Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. I apologize. I misspoke. I called it the Butterfly Program. It's actually the Butterfly Project.
Yeah, the Butterfly Project.
The Butterfly Project. And looks like I have a caller. Area code 614, you are up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and Ms. Akua Allset. What is your question?
Well, it goes back to when you were talking about being on the video set and the need for women to do the videos for free.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, why do we as a society always go back to the women and what they need? How come we don't ever hold the men accountable for exploiting the women?
Yeah, well, you know, that's a very good point. In fact, in the piece that he referred to, Can a Sister Get a Lease for Descent, there is a part in my poem that says, where were all the warriors? Where were our warriors? Why didn't just one warrior stand up and say, hey, sister, don't you know your worth? So we both participate. We both participate because we need brothers and brothers need us. You know, it's not about the men having all the power or the women having all the power. We really... The sacred marriage, the balance is both of us coming together and taking responsibility. So I think things are never going to work unless women are really in their true femininity and men are in their true masculinity, and we come together. So you're absolutely right. We both participate.
Well, trust me, caller. My guest this evening, if you read the book, she doesn't really take it easy on the men. And matter of fact, the chapter I loved the best was a chapter you had called Are You Being Pimped? Listeners, that chapter alone is worth the price of the book. And one of the first comments you make is it's eye-catching, is you say, the mass persuasion of media stimulates our emotional being and manipulates us through our lower self, the animal. And I want you to elaborate on that. But first, elaborate a little bit on that statement.
Well, trying to be as simple as I can. I just spoke about balance. If you look at any spiritual school of thought, there's always the idea of balance, of the union between spirit and the physical. And so, yes, we are human beings. We're physical beings. We came here through the act of sex. You know, so that's definitely part of who we are. And the discipline of being a human being is also realizing that we're spiritual beings. And so that animal part of us is governed by the mammal part of our brain, the brainstem. And so I think happiness and success in life has to do with being able to balance what's spiritual, what's higher in your mind, as well as realizing that you're sexual and human being. You need to eat, you know, you need to have clothes on, and, you know, so it's really a balance of that, you know. And I think anytime people have difficulties in life, it's because something's out of balance and there's not moderation, you know, even when it comes to eating or taking part in, you know, activities outside of, you know, whatever your life's work is. I mean, it's just always about balance. And so you don't want anything to be the master of you. And I feel like we're in a culture where people, again, don't know who they are. They don't have a family or community that supports them. So a lot of times we just try and get those needs satisfied through sex and through, you know, all the things that are available to stimulate that sexual part of us. But that's only a part of who we are. That's not all of who we are.
Now, taking the notion of, which you emphasize in your book, the notion of personal responsibility. So, of course, all men and women are ultimately, you know, responsible for their own choices and decisions. But I have to ask you, given some of the discussions that have taken place, like on Oprah when the whole Imus thing broke out, how much is there valid blame that needs to be directed towards television shows, movies, hip-hop records, et cetera?
Well, the thing about blame is that it takes away your power. Anytime you put yourself in a victim or a blaming position, it takes away your power. So what I learned about the whole idea of taking responsibility of something, it was actually a very inspiring idea, because that means as long as I can take responsibility, that means I have the power to do something different. And so I think definitely there can be an environment, an atmosphere created that may not empower people, but in the end, we are all responsible for the experiences that occur in our lives, you know, how we respond to it. So I like to think that everybody has some power, because they have the power to choose at every moment.
Well, of course, it's in your title, Work in Your Power, and Magic. Now, I once read where, oh, first of all, thank you, caller 614. I didn't get a chance to thank you for your question. Mm-hmm. If any other callers want to call in and ask a question or make a comment, 646-478-5710, 646-478-5710. But that was a good question, caller from area code 614. I once read where movie star Eddie Murphy once referred to himself lightheartedly as a hoe. He said he was a hoe for his movie studio, which at the time was Paramount Pictures. And in your book, you have a quote from TV star and former rapper Ice-T, where he essentially says the same thing. He says he was once a hoe for his record company. Do you think many people, particularly in the entertainment industry, perceive themselves as whores for fame and wealth, and even more so, can you be successful in media and or entertainment without allowing yourself to be pimped out, for lack of a more appropriate term?
Well, for the first question, I can't really answer the first question. I don't know what's going on in people's minds and what their intention is and all that. So I really can't truthfully answer that question. You know, but first of all, you have to look at what being pimped is, what a pimp is, you know. And
yeah, explain that. I mean, I think everybody has the whole idea, as I said in my intro, that a lot of times when you hear the word pimp, you think, of course, the long mink coat with the guy with the big brim. But there's very subtle form of pimping that go on in society today. So I want you to kind of, you know, drop your take on our listeners on the whole idea of pimping and being pimped.
Well, an environment of pimping is created when someone has an idea or an outlook for me, as opposed to we? What can I get out of it as opposed to what can we get out of it, or what can I contribute? So that's the very first thing. It's all about me and what can I get out of it. And so the pimp is born when he or she is in intention to get something out of someone and in exchange give them as little as possible back. And at oftentimes, through physical or mental manipulation, getting them to continue to perform that service or, you know, give you what you're looking for, to keep them doing it over and over again. You know, so there's a lot of things that fall under that category, you know, when you define it that way. You know, a lot of people at their jobs could perhaps look at the boss as being pimp because he's going to pay you as little as possible to keep you there, but not enough to really have you be contributed to in your life where you're, you know, happy and balanced and getting what you need out of it. So the whole pimping situation is basically one person's winning and the other person's not winning.
Interesting, interesting. That was good perspective. And again, callers, and even some of Akua's own fellow goddesses, if you want to call in and just make a comment and say how great of a friend Akua Sut is, how much value she adds to your life, go ahead and call in 646-478-5710, as well as those in the chat room.
Now, Alan, the way you said that, you could have people thinking I have some goddess sanctuary where a whole bunch of goddesses living in houses.
Hey, ain't nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. All these beautiful goddesses around here is hiding out. Shoot, you need to just be out so all the brothers can find these. The kings need to identify the goddesses. That's what I'm talking about. Forget all these B's and H's stuff.
Exactly.
About the kings and the goddesses. Mm-hmm. What I was going to now, I touched on this one a little bit in some of my email promos for this show, and I don't want to necessarily put you in a position to, per se, criticize this woman or pass judgment on this woman, but I do find her rise to popularity interesting, given your talk in your book about the exploitation of women. The book author, Corrine Steffens,
mm-hmm.
whose book, Confessions of a Video Vixen, made it to the heights of the New York Times bestseller list.
Mm-hmm.
And it almost seems like, now she titled her first book A Cautionary Tale, but I've heard her in various radio interviews and whatnot, and she almost seems, at least in my opinion, to glorify the idea of exchanging sexual favors for cash and financial favors and career opportunities. And 50 Cent's former protege, The Game, had a song entitled Wouldn't Get Far, where he suggests that most women wouldn't even climb the ladder in the entertainment industry unless they allow themselves to be sexually exploited. Do you have any particular thoughts on Ms. Steffens, her books, why people have bought those books like hotcakes, and what kind of message she might be sending out to young women?
Yeah, I actually purchased the book myself, you know, working with young girls, working in the entertainment industry with some of these artists who are making music videos. I actually purchased it and read it, and felt very compassionate towards her background. You know, and my thing is always to find out, how does someone get to be where they're at? Like, what is it that had them choose that kind of lifestyle? So she shared about her childhood and some of the things she went through. And so I felt very compassionate towards her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm really, you know, I've really made a commitment to not judge people, because we don't see somebody's entire journey. I mean, you just don't know what's going to happen on the other side. You know, she's still in the middle of her journey. So it's not up to me or anybody else to judge her behavior, you know. And so I wrote my book in the way that I felt that I needed to contribute to society, humanity, and she wrote the book that she felt she needed to write. But I did get some insight into, you know, some of these girls, you know, being on that music video, reading her book, and just knowing a lot of sisters that get involved in these types of lifestyles. And it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle choice. Just like people go to Whole Foods and eat, you know, vegetarian food. That's a lifestyle. So that's a lifestyle choice that a lot of these sisters have signed up for. And a lot of them, I'm finding out, have had some type of abuse or something, you know, bad that's happened to them. And so they're just kind of reliving that same abuse over and over again because, you know, that piece that you mentioned, can a sister get at least 50 cents? I say in that piece, I really believe that these sisters had it their way, the way that they really chose that they would have it to be different. They're just making the best they can out of a really, really messed up situation, kind of like the slaves took the pork intestines and they made those chitlins taste good. You know, you just take whatever you got and you spice it up and try and make the best out of it. But would you choose chitlins if you could choose something else? I don't think so.
But I guess one of the things, my question, when I think of somebody like her,
yeah,
and our caller who called in, a lot of times people want to say, oh, you know, these terrible, horrible men are, you know, exploiting these women and taking advantage of them and using them for sex and blah, 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 blah. And honestly, a lot of that is valid. But then you have some women who almost seem to be inviting that. They almost want that, and they bathe in the glory of being exploited. And I just wonder, do you have young women that say, look at a Kareem Stephens and say to themselves, well, shoot, if it means me being on a popular video or being in somebody's movie, et cetera, yeah, I'm going to let myself be exploited.
Yeah, well, remember what we said earlier, though? We said people want to be loved, they want attention, and they want to be respected. So a lot of these girls are getting the attention. And a lot of them, you know, want to be taken care of. And so the easiest way for a woman to get attention is to show her body in this culture, you know, because we usually cover up. But in America, if you show a little body, you get attention like that. You don't even have to be pretty in the face. You can just show some body, and you've got some attention. So, you know, I've heard stories of, you know, young teenage girls meeting guys online and meeting up with them, and her just saying, she says, I love the power that I can get this grown man to do anything I want. You know, so.
Well, we know somebody got former New York Governor Spitzer to do anything she wanted to for $4,000 a pop.
Yeah. You know, but the real question is, you know, are they really, really happy? It's just like, you know, you get all this money from doing whatever you got to do. I mean, you're really in this jungle mentality, this whole, you know, gangsters and hoes and bitches and, you know, it's really a jungle lifestyle, like, you know, the survival of the fittest. You know, that's the kind of mindset of limitations. Like, I got to get over on this person and I got to get mine. I mean, it's just a lifestyle that in the end, are you really happy? You know, are you really being loved and loving the way you want to? Are you respected by those who you respect? You know, so, you know, everybody has to make their choices based on what they want their end result to be. So, you know, it's very easy for us to stand back and look at other people and say, oh, they're making the wrong choices. But I just really choose to just focus on what I'm doing and how I can shine and hopefully inspire people through me shining. You know, I feel, and I have found in my own personal relationships with my children, with my man, with my mother, the best way to influence people is just do you and shine. And when they see that shine, they're going to want some of it, and maybe they'll start to, you know, do the same thing. So, you know, that's my solution to the problem. I'm just going to shine.
Well, we only got about 3 or 4 minutes left with my guests. If you have a last-minute question or comment, if you're in the chat room or listening otherwise, the number is 646-478-5710. This is Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, and the guest for the evening is celebrity makeup artist and book author, Miss Akua Alsett. Now, I have to tell you, Miss Alsett, you got some, as some people say, some cojones. cajones, balls, all that. You were very bold to, in your book, to harshly criticize the Catholic Church the way you did. First of all, did you have extra security? Did you get any death threats from that? I'm only saying that halfway lightheartedly because, you know, Catholic Church don't play. But, yeah, you had two or three pages where you were lighting them up, man.
Well, I'm protected by the most powerful force of all.
I feel you.
But, yeah, I mean, you just have to call it like it is, and I don't think I'm the only one. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, we live in an energy that's very imbalanced. It's so much male energy, and it's just not working anymore. I think we live in the best times as well as the worst of times, that some of that destructive energy is falling away, and a more nurturing and creative energy is coming forth to balance it out, because we need both, you know. You can't just have one. You need the balance of both, and it's been way too patriarchal, way too destructive.
Give some of our female listeners, both the ones who are listening live and the ones who will soon be listening to this as an archive podcast, without just having them, of course, I want them to buy the book. It's called Superwomen and Goddesses, Working Your Power and Magic, Book 1. So first, my first recommendation would be buy the book. But if you had to, like, just highlight some practical steps that will allow a woman who might look at herself as, for lack of a better word, a hoe, or a woman that's not really worth that much, doesn't really add that much value, you know, what should she do to take steps towards moving towards the superwoman mentality, the goddess mentality?
You know what I just thought about? I thought about Eddie Murphy, Bella Jones, How to Be a Hoe. So you're asking me,
Bella
Jones,
I remember that.
How
to be a hoe.
Well, all I can do is share what I do. I can't tell people what to do. I'll just share with you what I do.
Okay.
And I'm going to define superwoman and goddess the way I've defined in my book. A superwoman is a female who thinks, feels, and acts with a mind that anything is possible. So that's first.
Okay.
A goddess is anything that this female touches inspires life. So, Alan, you tell me, how would your life be if every female around you behaved as if everything she touched inspired life?
Oh, that would be great. Exceptional. That would be just a nice vibe to be around. I mean, it would get my adrenaline flowing, so yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, my steps is to embody those definitions every day. Like, I really, in my life, I really look to make sure that everything that I do is about inspiring life, because that's the biggest power you can have. That's to inspire another person. Everything happens from inspiration. Everything good, everything bad comes from inspiration to do it. So the greatest thing you can do is inspire someone to do something creative or to do something good. And if everybody's goal is to be loved, respected, and appreciated, then think of ways that you feel loved. What is it that other people do that make you feel loved? What is it that other people do to make you feel respected? What is it that other people do to make you feel appreciated? And just return the favor. You know, and I live such a beautiful life. You know, it's just, I get so much love, I think, because I've really chosen to be peace, to be love, to be abundant. You know, I'm not starving for any physical attention, for any emotional attention. I get all that I want. And that's all these sisters want. That's all the brothers want. You know, so, you know, there's a way to get it all. I'm not starving. I have money, you know. So people don't have to be hoes and to be pimps and all that. I mean, actually, it's kind of corny. It's kind of like out.
Okay, cool. I got to cut you off. We probably got like 30, 45 seconds. Area code 516, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to take you because the show is about ready to cut off on me. But, Akua, I just want to thank you for being here. The book, ladies and gentlemen, is called Superwomen and Goddesses, Working Your Power and Magic, Book 1. Go to BarnesandNoble.com, Amazon.com. Go to her site,
Yeah,
superwomenandgoddesses.com.
Yeah.
And again, I thank you, and I look forward to interacting with you in the very near future here in the Chicago area. Listeners, join me next week. Book author Elliot Katz, Being the Strong Man a Woman Wants, will be with me next week.
Okay.
Take care.
Thank you. Peace.
I brought you something close to me. Left for something new. See through your head. You aren't my chain. Nothing to do but believe. Just believe.
Just believe.